Hello, fellow AFL enjoyers. We're back. Here we go. Grand final reaction, boys.
Lions have done it.
Yeah.
Didn't think they had the back-to-back in them.
Well, to be honest. They proved you wrong. They proved everyone wrong. It felt like a close grand final, obviously up until halftime, which kind of makes me content with it as opposed to previous years, but they just went to town on them in the third and the fourth. Like,
it was a good watch. Like you said, having a close game to halftime, I think everyone wants that. And then it is also fun seeing a team just blow another team out.
It is. It's more fun than that. That's more fun than like a 17-point win.
You know? You want it to
having
either be
a shellacking, where everyone's just getting on the board.
100%. Yeah. Under a goal or this. They're the two options.
Yeah. See, but I think in previous grand finals, it's been like that the whole game. And that's kind of just given a bit of a sour taste. It was just like, this wasn't, didn't even need to watch this at all. You know what I mean? Whereas this, at least, they kept it. I think it was it 5-6 to 5-6 up to half at halftime.
Correct.
So it's just insane the difference that happened right there. You know, it went from, 13 to 6. Mm. And, a couple of those goals were late from Geelong. They were just, absolute junk time goals. So. Correct.
Yeah, and it was a very messy first half, so it wasn't like a free-flowing game. Both teams can play free-flowing football.
Yeah.
It was very kind of, I don't even know which team's playing better. No one's really completing their plays. Players are missing a lot of goals.
Yeah.
So it was kind of even in the fact that both teams weren't playing their way. Once Brisbane got on top, it was a massacre.
Legit. It was crazy, man. They're the only team who could do the free-flowing football in the end, in the end it was just them, but yeah, that midfield, man, it's a midfield to be remembered. It's one of the best midfielders we've ever seen, right? Have we had a better midfield in the last 5 to 6 years? Dunkley, one of the most, in my opinion, probably the most underrated player of our time, right? Will Ashcroft now, two Norm Smiths in his first 3 years.
This guy's gonna have years. He's going to have a better career than Selwood, this guy.
Right, legit. Like,
two non-Smiths already.
No, no, mate. Well, look, at the moment, the question is there between him and Dacos. You can very easily ask the question. It's like, why aren't we talking about Will Ashcroft being top 5 players in the game? It just doesn't happen, you know? But now twice on the big stage, he's gone and done it.
And I think while we're on the topic, I think deserving winner. I know there's a lot of players that filled their boots in the end.
Yeah.
But I thought the way that they probably were thinking about it is who was making the difference when it counted.
Yeah.
And not like McLuggage, I think, obviously had a great game. 4 goals as a midfielder is insane and took the tag. But it was probably Ashcroft and maybe you could argue Cameron because he kicked a couple of the goals.
Yeah.
Though I didn't think Cameron
key
was
moments as well. Yeah,
I don't think he was that impressive even though he still got on the end of him.
Yeah.
The obvious one that could have had a grand final of all grand finals is Zach Bailey, who ended up with 3-6. The power of this man and what he's capable of is incredible. And he's done it on the big stage as well. He just couldn't convert. If he had, it'd be signed, sealed, and delivered.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, because his goals would have been at moments where the game was still in the balance.
Mm.
I think that's why if Cameron had kicked the fifth, then I would have been like, okay, I would have been happy to give him the Norm.
Mm.
But
I think this is exactly what is the problem for Geelong, is that there's 4 players there that easily all could have won best on field.
There's even more. I mean, Harris Andrews, I know defenders typically don't do it. He had a great game.
Yeah. Zorko.
Fletcher, 29 possessions, dominated.
Yeah. Just a quick one as well. Whilst we were on Will Ashcroft, I did make that prediction last week, 2 in a row.
Mm. Yeah, well done to you. Can we reflect on that? My predictions could not have been more wrong. I predicted a big Geelong win opposite. Yeah.
Got most people did.
I also predicted Jeremy Cameron to be the star. Bro had one arm by the end of it.
And he looked like he was in some serious pain.
But I was watching it with Matza, and I honestly understand why he tried to push through, but he was off the field for 17 minutes, restrapped, comes on, can't do it. Like, he's tackling with one arm, he's marking with, like, I honestly think at that point, I'm not criticizing his character at all, but I'm just saying, I think at that point, medicos needed to say, hey, we need fit blokes running around here.
And Jack Martin as a sub had one possession. Contrast that to Lachie Neale, who had 17. And who knows how many clearances in the last, 5 or 6 centre clearances.
I think it was 7 clearances, 7 goal involvements or score involvements.
And a goal in the third, at the end of the third.
Mm. That goal that he scored, man, I jumped up.
Yeah, Dino got excited, man.
But that individual moment for him, thinking that his season's done, finding a way to fight back from an injury that we don't really know the severity of generally, but everyone had ruled him out. He's come back in and, had a massive say in this game.
Oh, huge, huge. Well, look, as soon as he comes on the ground, it just becomes a demolition.
Yeah.
Like it was, and I'm not saying it was just him who created the spark, but helps big time when you get your two-time Brownlow medalist coming onto the ground and, you know, just, you know, being a calm presence out there. Those ground ball gets, those hard ball gets, you know, just the smooth hands out of the packs.
Mm.
Like he was great.
So it had to be like that, you know, obviously Fagan gets the chocolates for the super sub strategy because going in, obviously if Neil was fit and conditions, he plays the whole game. That's obvious. But I think the nerve to hold him and go, we'll sub him on later and we'll hold off and we'll back in our boys to compete with him. That's a bold move that's clearly paid off because the boys are tired and in comes, yeah, as what you just said, dual Brownlow medalist superstar. And he's the fresh one getting all the clearances and getting the ball forward and allowing the other guys to shine as well. So that that was – compare that to Jack Martin as the sub. I mean, night and day.
Yeah. See, and I think the thing as well with it is if you had played Lachie Neale from the start, you could – I don't think this really happens because he's a – you know, like we said, you know, highly credentialed player, but it almost, it could disrupt the balance of the team that had just won 2 weeks in a row without him.
Mm.
Does that make sense? Like,
well, clearly they've got enough talent, so they didn't need to risk it. And that's the big point, I think, is bringing him in on your own terms to impact the game is fine. That's what the rule's there for. It might not be a rule for much longer. I think the sub rule might go away. So, funnily, I think he was the sub in the Frio grand final back in the day.
Yeah.
So, he's back-to-back grand final subs.
Yeah, true.
Or two-time, not back-to-back. But I wanted to add as well, you said during the game, Matt, it was a good comment about like why were we so worried about Brisbane's forward line when the big moments matter, it's their smalls that are the impact.
Yeah, well, it's I feel like every grand final, we're talking about how the small forwards dominate the grand final and how the midfields dominate. It's never the key forward to winning Norm Smith's.
Correct. You know, and the interesting thing of it is when you really think about it, Geelong's got an incredible team, but their defenders are more suited to the aerial game. All the big boys, your Henrys and De Connings and all these guys, Guthrie, they're decent below the knees, but they don't excel at that. That's not their main strength. So I think, unfortunately, for Geelong's sake, is they probably do need a few more guys like that. Like you've got Lawson Humphries. He's probably the only one that's his bread and butter. So maybe that'll be something they target, is some more versatile defenders to stand up in these kind of moments. Because it wasn't your Morris show. There's no Danaher anymore. Like that was never the risk. The Ruckman didn't have any impact forward. But it's that ground ball, man, that like the Baileys, the Camerons, the Archies, Lomans, they killed them, killed them.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at the goals and Morris got one. I think did Gallup, I don't think he got a goal.
No, he kicked the point.
He kicked the point, yeah. So it's like there's no, not much key forward involvement at all.
Like that's the thing, you need them there to compete and that's what they did really well. Mm. But yeah, that ground ball, probably 10 times I saw Lawson Humphries just chasing someone, just not to say he's a bad player or anything, but they were on the back foot big time.
Yeah.
And not really any of Geelong's players really got going this game. I mean, 3 weeks ago, Geelong smashed Brisbane, right? So what a turnaround this is. And I think Max Graham's had an okay game, but he just wasn't as destructive by foot as he has been. And a lot of their players probably weren't as precise. I mean, Ollie Dempsey, you've got to shout out, what a game. This is almost like a Chad Warner for Sydney type of performance where he's really the main highlight. Dangerfield, I mean, I don't know how much you can put on his shoulders, but he wasn't able to go in and have an impact and change the narrative of the game. Bailey Smith, I think, had started the game pretty well, but just didn't really do much. Cameron was injured. There was no one really, other than Dempsey, that really showed. And when you contrast that to Brisbane, who the game was played very much contested for the half, and you look at what Geelong was able to do against Hawthorn. Dangerfield came in the midfield, swung the game, and they won it out of the midfield, right? They were able to kind of kick goals from that. And they won the midfield contest, I think, against Brisbane as well. Previously, this was a tight, contested game where both teams couldn't get free-flowing. And eventually, it was just a weight of numbers, Brisbane being too strong in the contest, and it just turned into a bloodbath as a result of that.
Yeah.
So I think that's really, the game was just won as contest, and that's why I think Will Ashcroft ended up getting the medal.
At the start of the game as well, Geelong was all over them. That's the extra impressive thing about Brisbane, is they were panicking to start that game. But obviously, as good teams do, they didn't let the scoreboard show it. And then by the time they found their feet, it was a different story in the second half.
Yeah. No, I remember you saying that, that they were getting a bit that antsy, especially like in the defense, like even their good players were, you know, starting to, you know, falter a little bit. But it didn't matter in the long run. Interesting
to see the Cam Rayner's kind of performance, because He had a very poor three quarters, and he's had a great final series. But just it's interesting just what some moments can do. Just a couple of rundown tackles on Bailey Smith can change the mood.
It's almost like he was targeting him from the front end of the Brisbane stoppage. He was coming in after the bounce and just making sure that Smith couldn't burst out.
Yeah.
Mm. It almost seemed deliberate to me.
Maybe. Hey, who knows? That's like, if there's a player that you want to stop, you know, sprinting or, you know, sprinting through the middle and, you know, creating his impact, you know, that's the player to stop. So maybe it was a thing, you know, prior to the game. Fags is like to him, look, man, I need you to just focus on him.
Yeah.
Pay attention. Make sure he doesn't do much.
Yeah, it's fair. It's funny. I remember us talking in the middle of the season, three quarter of the season, about the Lions when they had the draw against North Melbourne and they had whatever that small patch where they weren't really performing. It's like, should we be more harsh on Brisbane? And, you know, the answer was no, probably not, because we know that when the time comes, they can do it. They've done it the hard way 2 years in a row. Outside of the eight, from fifth, they won it. And then they lost their first final. They played four games to Geelong's three and still managed to just storm home. So it's clearly a team that's got a lot of mental toughness, and they just know they've got so many X factor players that they can just get the ball moving when it matters. I mean, Zach Bailey's an example of that. I think obviously he was a bit clumsy in front of goal, but just the ability just to win contests, grind it out, get the ball moving forward. So many of their players can do that, and I think that was the biggest contrast between Brisbane and Geelong. This match was just that contested side of the game.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think, I don't know, when I look at the team, I was talking to Dano about Dunkley and I was saying earlier how he's underrated. I think he allows for dudes like Ashcroft, dudes like McCluggage and Neil to be that, you know, more attacking-ended player, whereas Dunkley's almost like the holding midfielder, you know what I mean? So he's basically Ryan Gravenberch. And then you've got Will Ashcroft is Verts. You got Salah and Lachie Neal. You know what I mean? Like it's something similar. You know what I mean? I don't know if that exists. You know, like where they have like they must have certain roles, right? In you know in their centre bounce structures. And we're not really privy to that because we've never played football at a competitive level. But I think you can tell. You can tell that a team needs that big dude to then allow the attacking guys to just, you know, be a bit more free flowing. And you know, McCluggage doesn't need to worry about you know what's going on. You know, in the contest as much, as long as he's able to start, you know, get the ball and start sprinting out and then being damaging with it. I think a dude like Dunkley, I think it's huge for a team. And that's why I wanted Windhager at North. Because I'm like, he could potentially be that type of player, you know, makes the rest of his midfield counterparts, you know, shine.
You just need selfless players, man. They're all, AFL players are all very good. A lot of teams are very good, but it's that selfless, and the mixture of being very selfless team, but also a very experienced team, I think, gets you over the line. Geelong's obviously got the guns, like your Holmes and Smiths, and obviously they are a great team, but in a grand final, I guess, it's fine margins, and it can even so it can blow out to this massive margin as well.
It is interesting how we've seen so many blowouts. When a team gets on top and the other team probably thinks, shit, it's starting to get a bit hard, 30 points, how it just so quickly becomes 60.
Yeah.
And it's a fascinating watch because it doesn't really happen like that in any other game where you're so on top where the other team just stops. Like, how many goals did Brisbane kick in the last quarter where they just were just jogging? Oh, actually, I'll just run this into the goal.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating to see the celebration, like Ashcroft marked the ball and he's like giving the ball to the crowd. Yeah. Like, I love that shit. That's hilarious.
The, what's it called? Kyle Omen did a little bit of a, he did a bit of a Vince McMahon / Rick strut.
He had a big game too, from being injured to kind of pouncing back in the fourth, looking like he's never copped injury in his life.
It's probably the most fun thing for an AFL player is what happened in that last quarter. Like everybody's just running into an open goal, having their turn shooting from 40.
It doesn't get better.
How fun. Can I go on a bit of a side story here? Now during the game they said at halftime it was the first ever time the grand final was at a draw at halftime
since 1908.
Since 1909.
Okay.
Wow.
So I thought to myself, what happened that game? Let's have a look down history, down memory lane, right? South Melbourne v Carlton.
Oh, oppa. Okay,
back in the day.
Here we go.
I'll tell you the full story of this season, right, in a very short way.
Okay.
So Carlton and South Melbourne, this is from Wikipedia, so I'm trusting it. Carlton and South Melbourne finished top two. Right?
Yeah.
Sydney first. On
I remember
percentage.
That season.
Yeah. Good season. See, South Melbourne finished as the minor premiers on percentage. But in the season, Carlton beat them twice. So the two of the four losses that South Melbourne had was due to Carlton. Anyway.
Baggers, man.
In the final, mind you, Carlton's going for a four-peat. back in the day, man, in the glory days.
Yeah.
Now,
Georgies hate that.
Apparently back then, right, the finals were played under a now amended Argus system where if you lose the grand final as the minor premiers, you get a rematch.
What?
Right. So Carlton beats as the second, beats the first team by 22 points. But Sydney goes, nah, bitch. Minor premiers, I get a rematch.
Right? Wow.
That is insane.
Sydney gets a rematch and wins by 2 points. So Carlton beat them three times that year, including in the grand final.
Yeah.
And Sydney's like, oh, South Melbourne's like, nah.
So we should rematch. be on 17 premierships.
You should have another one, yes.
Look, that is that actually gives some actual meaning to minor premiers, man. Imagine Adelaide's just like, you know, we got a second chance. We want another one.
Yeah. Another chance.
Give us another chance, yeah. Bro. Like, that's, bro.
I'm in favor of that rule coming back. That's sick.
Look, I feel sick in my stomach from the injustice.
Yeah, look, please don't bring that rule back. That would that would just be such, that would just be annoying as, man. Can you imagine you get to a grand final and because the team was first, they get another shot? I would just not play the first game.
And you've beaten them already that season three times at that point.
That's the crazy part, actually.
Anyway, yeah, so geez. Geelong's going to get their rematch next week, guys.
There we go. But they weren't minor premiers, though, so.
Yeah, true.
That was the Crow Boys.
I wonder what footy was like in the 1900s, early 1900s.
Bro, wasn't there a war in 1909? Like, was that a bit later?
World War One's a bit later.
A little bit later, 12 to 15?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, oh, wrong, right. There we go. My bad. I was going to say, because they're out there playing footy.
Yeah.
You know,
well, Carlton won three flags in the row, so I think that says everything.
True. Well, that's a long, long, long time ago.
That's about it.
There's some more we can talk about, I'm sure, about the grand final. The last game of the season. Oh,
that's about it as far as I'm concerned. You guys go.
Nah, fair enough. You've gone.
Well, we can talk about Berry missing out.
Yeah.
That's a bit unlucky, but McInerney gets his win.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's
and Stasevic as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Got knocked out, but then he just got to sit and watch the show.
Mm. It's interesting with him because the West Coast apparently have upped their deal to like 6 years for him. Can you really go 6 years on a dude who requires, like, you know, himself to be a tough player and he's got concussion issues? I think that's a bit cray cray. Other moves like involving these teams, Oscar Allen.
Mm.
You add that to the forward line, even though we've made the decision that key forwards don't matter. But they're going to get him, and they're going to get Oscar McInerney's eventual, you know, replacement, right? Mm. In Draper. So it's just, this team's just gone from strength to strength.
Well, they'll get a couple of players back from injury as well. Like Kitty Coleman's probably the main one.
Yeah,
Link McCarthy. I don't know if he will come back. What his situation is? Multiple ACLs, and there's a couple of other players. As well for Brisbane that are sitting on the sidelines. So
Kitty Coleman's an interesting one, man, because I think now that, like, he must be, you hold on to him until Zorko retires, but Zorko's probably got another 1 or 2 years in him. And then at that point, is Kitty like, I'm behind just the Jasper Fletcher in the, you know, in the pecking order. Do I just find another club? Is there a team that, actually, I was going to say, is there a team that needs some halfback kicking? Yeah, there is.
Especially a left foot one.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, so I'm sure there's teams who'd be out there going, you know, hey, Kitty, what's up, bro? In saying that, like, it'd be a tough choice to leave this team who's going to be contending for the next however long. Look, I don't see how the wheels fall off this team.
No way. I mean, the Ashcroft, as you just mentioned, and his brother had a pretty good game as well, kicked the goal.
Yeah.
Fletcher's just had an amazing game. Yeah. Wilmot held up his end of the bargain. Mm. And the Talls competed, the young Talls. Mm. And, yeah, are there more players coming in the academy in the draft this year?
I think there is. There's another midfielder, Annable, I'm pretty sure. I don't know too much about the draft this year, but he's one who's, you know, in the top 10. You know, he'll get bidded on in the top 10, maybe top 5. Mm. So, you know, there it is, man. Another midfielder. So that's, they're just stacked, bro. They are so, so stacked.
Before you continue, the other thing that's interesting about Brisbane is obviously they were rebuilding for a long time. They were a poor team. Then they did the big rise up the ladder.
Yeah.
They were in the top 4 calculations for multiple years before making a grand final. Like 3 or 4 years. Then they lost to Collingwood. Mm. Now they've won back-to-back. Look how long it's taken them to be up there. Oh, they're ready. Are they ready? Oh, they're not. They're not. They're not. They're not. They lose the grand final.
Mm.
Bang, bang. And you'd think another 5-6 years of this at least.
Yeah, no. It makes. Yeah, there's no reason for it to end.
No. As long as they keep making good decisions, They'll have some generational plays in that team.
Yeah. I was going to move on to Geelong a little bit and just say, I think, yeah, the midfield just did not compete. But it's interesting, though, because Warpole is looking like he's going to pick Geelong, is what they're saying, right? Now, it wouldn't surprise me if they just – so they're actually Rol Marshall. Like between Rol Marshall and Charlie Kerner, they're going to get one of those. I don't think that you can't get both, right? Surely got to be Rol Marshall. But then at some point, I feel like they've got to look into the Petrarca sweepstakes, to be honest with you. And why wouldn't they? They want a bit more midfield, you know, grunt, a bit of spark, you know. They seem to freaking get anyone these days, let's be fair.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I think they need to be looking at a ruckman over a forward because they've got such a potent forward line anyway, right?
I agree.
And Shannon Neal's coming through the ranks. Obviously, Charlie Kerner's a special player and at Geelong, he'll dominate. But you look at Reece Stanley, I mean, he's underdone. He came back for the final. He had six possessions and got subbed off. Blitzarves always competes, but, you know, I think a real dominant ruckman like a Marshall will obviously help the midfield mix. How can it not?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. He's one of those rucks who's not the best tap ruckman, but he's got grunt.
He's like, high clearance.
Yeah, high clearance, grunt type. And if you train the dude to be like, okay, instead of kicking the ball, you know, 50 meters, you know, every time you get the ball and just shanking it to, you know, the opposition team's defense, you got a guy named Max Holmes and you have a guy named Bailey Smith you can hand pass that off to. And they sprint, mate. They'll, you know, that's what you can look for. I think they could fit him in very nicely. So they'll come back stronger as well. They'll probably be top four again, I'm thinking, next year.
Yeah, they won't go away, mate. They're fine.
Yeah. I agree. We recorded last week on the Brownlow night and there was a bit of controversy with shout out to Buzz Lightyear for winning, first of all. Happy for him to win, to be honest with you. And I don't know if we'd mentioned it on the pod or what. I've been talking about Matt Rowell winning it for a while because I know that he polls well and that they won more games. Did I put a bet on it? No. But so he wins. Some votes were probably undeserved, but undeserved votes was Viney's 16 tackles.
I mean, that in itself just shows that the Brownlow is compromised.
100%. That's
all the evidence you need to go. I don't know if this award matters as much as we think it does.
Yeah, look, that is one of the most unbelievable individual performances I've ever seen in my life. Like, how could you not give this? Look, what are the votes for? Like, what are the votes for? Like, it's for the best player, right? And how could
it's best and fairest.
Best and fairest.
And this is fairest
the,
means.
And the thing
whatever
is
that means, yeah.
Yeah, and the umpires don't get the stats. Now, the funny thing about this game is...
They get the stats. They just don't... I've heard them say they don't really look at them that much. They don't prioritize it. They look for general feel. Because I've listened to an umpire interview on a Dylan Buckley podcast a couple of years ago explaining that it's more the vibes.
Well, this is my point.
Most incredible vibes.
This is right. My point.
That's the crazy part. But if you look at the stats, he's a midfielder that's kicked four goals, right? And if you don't look at the stats, he's him and he made the whole victory on himself.
Exactly.
That was going to be my point was even without the stats, if you're on the field witnessing that game, how are you not deciding that that's 3 points?
And it's not an individual. It's a group of umpires that have collectively made that decision.
Yeah.
It's incomprehensible.
I know. How has someone left that meeting saying... Actually, should we rethink this?
Yeah, guys, wait. Who kicked the goal after the siren again? Oh, that Matt, the Nazaya guy.
Like, maybe they couldn't spell his name, so they just went with with Vine.
Stunning. Well, yeah, I did say last week there was going to be two things that would make me just like last straw the Brownlow. One would be if someone even came close to beating the record again.
Yeah.
Because the last few years, the vote tally's been way too high, in my opinion. Or two would be some just blatant rubbish like this. So
you got two out of two.
I think next year I'm not going to watch it. Look, I'm deciding.
Bro, watching you are so the, watching it next
come
year.
On, man.
Come
watching
on, man.
It with
that
the
is
boys.
The most bullshit thing I've ever heard.
BS. Look, the award is BS, but the thing is, what I like about the Brownlow is the way that they show what happens throughout the season.
Yeah, true. I do like that.
Like, it's a nice little wrap up of the season right before the grand final.
And can I just say as well, just a side thing, Zach Banch not winning Mark of the Year, if you're going to give the Mark of the Year for the exact same mark that Sam Darcy did, who's like 2 meters taller than him, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, I think there was better marks in the year than all of those marks that they showed. But anyway.
Yeah, I think they always give it to the courageous running back with the flight mark. Like, look, as a fan, I don't know, maybe as a player, you might appreciate it more because you know what it's, you know, what it's going to feel like when you're running back with the, you know, with the flight of the ball and you get hit. Us as fans, I want to see the highest jump, man. I need like AI to measure how high they jumped.
Mm.
You know, give me like an image of it and show me how high did he actually jump. Highest jump, the longest that they sit on the shoulders for.
Mm.
I love that. When they actually get a ride.
Correct. Well, put it this way. Yeah. I don't think anyone at that game or watching that game thought as soon as Sam Darcy took that mark, we've just seen mark of the year.
No.
No one said that.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one said that.
This is drop of the year. That's
what I said. What's the thing? Exactly. He didn't even mark it.
So that was a bit annoying.
Are you guys in favor of having finals included in goal and mark of the year? Because Jamie Elliott would have won it with that mark. Yes. That was an amazing mark.
Yeah. Why not? No, I'm okay with that.
Why not?
Well, I don't see any issue with it either. Other teams get 24 rounds. Like, bro.
Yeah,
mark
exactly
the ball.
Right. Yeah, exactly right. So you had a chance.
The thing I will say about the Brownlow is, obviously, the thing that makes the Brownlow hard is there's only one winner, right? In other awards, there's runner-up and, you know, there's best and fairest is like top four, top three in the best and fairest. And there has been some talk about maybe recognizing runners-up and third place in Brownlow, which I don't mind. I don't know if you like it or not.
And I know why. And you know what the thing is? I would agree, but it's honestly just Nick Daicos propaganda about how he's the best player of all time. That would never have been mentioned until Nick Daicos became a thing because it's happened to him, the last 3 years in a row?
Mm.
So stuff him, bro. Win it proper.
I get that. But I guess my point is this, right? If you thought of who the most likely players to win the Brownlow are this year and you listed Anderson, Raoul, Daicos, Bailey Smith, McCluggage, I've missed a couple, right? Yeah, of the good players, right? Yeah. Sarong, Brayshaw, all of them were up there. So is the voting system that flawed if all of the players you expected to be there are there?
It's not obviously not fully flawed, but I think some things just don't make sense. Yeah. And that's the thing that people don't want.
And at the end of the day, because the winner is the winner and no one cares about anything else, by recognizing two or three in the record books, it may soften the blow of missing. Because a Bont and Pally would be runner-up example.
Look, that's for Bont, I'd do it. But not for Dakes.
I'm not saying to do it for Dakes. It's just a different opinion, but because I think the players up there deserve to be there. Like, I mean, some of these players had unbelievable seasons and it just gets lost in it.
Yeah, right? I don't think
it particularly matters. Like, they know that they came second. Mm-hmm. And fans will remember that Daicos came second a few times whenever he wins one.
Yeah.
I think for me, like, when we say is the Brownlow broken, I think it's more so like we shouldn't have every year games where we're looking at it, we watched it, like Real polling two against the Crows in a 60-point loss. That stuff, in my opinion, like if your team gets pants by 60 points, even if you killed it, I think like a one vote is all you should be getting. I don't see how you could be best on ground or second best on ground when your team is flogged.
Well, I think you can be best on ground. Like, we've both supported teams that are absolute garbage and you've seen what they can do. So I'm not sure I 100% agree because if it's an individual award, is who was the best individual? And they typically give the three votes to the winning team in general. Mm. I think the biggest thing we have to think about with the Brownlow is how we want it to really be measured, because Champion Data were talking about how the last 13 or 17 winners, I can't remember which one, were contested players and they were top five in contested possessions and maybe clearance as well.
Yeah.
And they had mentioned that as a result, only three players can win it this year, which is Tom Green, Sarong and Raoul. And Raoul won.
Yeah.
So clearly the umpires are looking at same things. We know Lockie Neal's won two Brownlows, Cripps has won two Brownlows, Fife's won two Brownlows. These are contested players, right? So is that how we want the best player to be measured? That's probably more the philosophical discussion.
Yeah.
Because the coach's votes, in my mind, has always been the best award because any player can score 10. Harris Andrews will get a vote. Some kid that wins the Rising Star that week might get 3 or 4 votes.
Yeah, well,
and that gets recognized, right? Yeah.
Well, it is interesting that you mentioned the coaches' award. There was a long list of players who hit 10 coaches' votes in a game, 0 Brownlow votes.
That's right.
And one of them, North Melbourne, Ruckman, 3 times he got 10 votes and didn't get – so, yeah, 3 times he got the 10 coaches' votes but 0 Brownlow.
Mm.
Where does that show, you know?
That's
like,
right.
It's not fair, really, you know? But in saying that, when you give the top, say, 10 to 20 players in the game, where's the highest Ruckman?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Where is the highest Ruckman in that?
Well, Gorn,
is it Gorn? Is he 5th, 6th?
Well, he manages to always 8, poll. 9th?
He polled well.
He polled in the 20s as well.
Yeah.
See, but this is my thing as well is, like, you're right. So, Gorn polls really well. Then there's other Ruckman playing incredible games. The coaches are recognizing.
Well, where was
incredible.
Grundy, right, as an example?
Yeah, correct. True. Where was Grundy? He was huge. Sherry didn't get some votes. So it's obviously clear to me that they can give, and they do notice the Ruckman. it just makes me think, I don't know what they're what these umpires are appreciating on the field, because if you're kicking 4 goals and having 30 touches, but it's, you know, for them it's not wow enough to give the 3 votes to. They're looking for something else. That's why obviously key defenders don't poll, even though the coaches' votes, like you said, Harry Andrews might lock someone down. In this game, it was, you know, a good example. It could have been that they credit him or who's the other defender back there for Brizzy?
Leicester.
Gardner. Yeah, Leicester. He played great. No. You know what I mean? Like Gardner. There could have been coaches saying like, yeah, give him 7 votes, 8 votes.
Yeah.
Never they're polling in this sort of game.
Well, I mean, you could just swap the coaches' award for the Brownlow.
Yeah, but then how do you do the vote? How do you do the big event?
You just don't show the votes until the end of the season and you count them.
That's not that bad idea, really.
I think it's better.
Yeah.
Because the player that wins the coaches' votes is usually the best player.
Generally. Yeah, no, that's fair. Who won it this year?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I can't even think.
I can't remember. I didn't pay attention this year.
Yeah, no, fair enough. No, look, you bring it up.
Was it a tie between Baz and someone?
See, Baz winning it,
he's had a good year.
He has had a good year.
And 29 votes in the Brown, though.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
Anyway, look, if I'm being honest, I don't think it needs to be overhauled or anything. I don't know. I don't know how we keep ending up with these oddities. Like, that game from Naz should never be in question of not being a 3-vote game.
Yeah, and the thing that makes that crazy is there's not one person on the planet that that disagrees with
that. You know what I mean?
Even the Melbourne players, everyone on the
And that's, if we're being honest, like, if that moment didn't happen, I don't think anyone's talking about it. Yes, did Raul get a few 2 or 3 voters when maybe the stats suggest he shouldn't have? Yes. But he also won by quite a bit. So yeah. I don't think that would have mattered, per se.
Noah Anderson.
Noah Anderson, my boy. And Baz, equal. But you know what's so funny? Raul finished 1 vote ahead of Dacos. Justified.
There as
He's
well.
Justified.
Oh, bro.
That's just justified in my mind. Raul's better.
That's it. There it is, man.
If we want to treat that award as a verifiable award, that's it. Raul's deserving.
There it is, mate. Buzz Lightyear.
Buzzing.
It is a bit... Sorry. I was just going to say one more thing. It is a bit interesting how the points tally is so high these days.
Yeah.
Like, I remember as a kid, like, you'd see a guy creeping up to 30, like 27, 28. You're like, man, what a year.
Yeah.
That's not going to be big.
But that's because only one type of player wins it. So if in the past Richo got some votes and then some backman got some votes, your midfielders aren't getting the votes every week. So
yeah, but why has that changed, seemingly?
Well, that's footy in general, man.
Because it used to be, Richo would almost win it. And
yeah, but those guys, they used to be more goals kicked, I feel like.
McKernan.
Back in the day. I reckon there was just more emphasis on key forwards. Which now, but
Cameron kicked 88 goals or whatever this season. Where did he finish?
Yeah. But then is he going in and taking contested marks?
You don't need to.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like that's a big part of why they were so, and people were so enamored by the key forward, is because it was one-on-one style game.
Correct. And,
you know.
Well, that's probably maybe why Gorn gets votes, because he's a contested mark guy.
Yeah. Because when you take up, I feel like when you take a mark one-on-one with someone or even in a pack, you just seem like that the world, you can't stop this guy.
Hmm.
It's like when Charlie Kurnow's taking those marks, it's like, bro, this dude is, he was considered before this season one of the top 2-3 players in the game. Some people would have just said, yeah, he's the best player in the game because of the impact that he can create. You know, those are the best key forwards.
It does seem to depend, and this is something we haven't mentioned, and it's a rabbit hole we're not going to get into, but obviously the umpiring group itself on the day matters, because there'll be some Jack Gunston games where he'll kick 5 and he'll get 3 votes or 2 votes.
Yeah.
And then Jeremy Cameron might have kicked 4 or 5 same week, no votes.
You know,
that's
funny.
A good point. It's not the same umpires voting.
Yeah. And you know what I'm starting to think, right? Maybe we've got to give these umpires a little bit of credit. Maybe they just have a really good sense of humor and they're like, guys, let's give the votes to Viney. You know what I mean? And just see all the melts from everyone. Look, if I was an umpire and I'm just like, you know what? Here's an opportunity to make a name for ourselves. Like, that might be it. Maybe they're just trolling.
The funniest argument of that 3-vote Viney game is, well, if you think about it, they were winning most of the game and Saints weren't, but they didn't win because of Naz. The argument falls away.
It's the worst argument ever.
The argument falls away so quickly.
Oh, gosh. Anyway.
Credit to Melbourne Football Club for their post. Do you see their post? It's like Jack Viney legacy game and nothing bad happened. That's great banter.
Yeah,
nah. Just on the umpiring for this game, why is it that they can let the whistle go for most of the game in a grand final but not every other game of the season, bro?
Very good question, George.
I don't know. Look,
there was one really shitty 50. That Geelong kick, which I just thought was just weak as. But in general, they didn't really pay much. So just do that every other game.
If I had to guess, it would be because they want to manage the emotions week to week. Too many games, too many opportunities for
them. Yeah, or it's fixed, man. All that. Sound like an old man. It's fixed, mate. They gave Brisbane the chances, you know, when Geelong were in front. Well, they gave Geelong free kicks.
It's just scrutiny. That's all it is.
They were giving a few more whistles to Brisbane in the start of the third quarter to balance the ledger.
It was looking bad at one point. Wasn't it like 17-4 or something?
It was, yeah.
Something crazy like that. I don't know.
What do you guys think of the dog?
The dog. We didn't watch it.
I didn't watch it live. I've seen a few clips. It looked fun.
No, I enjoyed the dog.
No, we rocked up here like at like 2:29. And turned it straight on and started watching. Okay.
I thought the dog was pretty good.
Yeah, look, but then he doesn't really perform, bro. He doesn't perform. Like, he just sort of speaks and just sort of bounces around a little bit. He doesn't actually have to sing. He doesn't have to use his, you know, his vocal cords.
He just sung a bit. Jessica Mowboy came out. Did she? She sang.
Okay, well, she can sing. She can sing.
The weird thing about the Snoop thing was all the merch they made. And I get it, like, for a concert, there's always going to be merch. But apparently the jerseys were selling for like hundreds of dollars. Like, I'm sorry. Come on. Whatever happened to a $20, $30, $40, $50 t-shirt at a concert?
The other thing is, like, it's not even a concert. It's like, this is an AFL grand final. So it's like, so what do you want to, like, you want a merch to say, I went to the AFL grand final that had Snoop
Dogg? But I guess I can see trying to make it like a concert merch thing. Because you did see Snoop Dogg perform, I guess. You know, it's a memory. But a couple hundred dollar jersey? Come on now.
I don't know. Maybe, look.
Crazy.
Maybe it's a thing because I don't really listen to that type of music. I'm not really, don't appreciate the significance of Snoop Dogg. Mm. I don't know. Because I don't know. To me, that's crazy. It's like, yeah, you go into the footy and then this guy's a side act in my eyes.
A t-shirt would do.
Yeah, exactly. A t-shirt.
I saw Snoop at the G. That's it.
I don't know if I like that.
You know my favorite thing about Snoop? He does. You know how Cal Toomey has got back-to-back interviews with the host? Like, so Katy Perry last year with the sexual tension through the roof with Katy Perry. Oh,
unbelievable.
And I'd say the tension was even greater with Snoop. Nah, but Snoop, because the way Snoop talks at the end, he's like, oh, so thank you, Snoop. Really appreciate your work. Looking forward to Saturday. And he's like, you're the greatest of all time. You know how he talks like that? You're the greatest of all time. And the thing is, he's like,
gettable as well. Man.
The thing is, he's like, he's kind of right. Cal Toomey, he's kind of the goat of draft.
Right, like, legit, man.
You're the greatest of all time.
Yeah, I guess that's what we're looking forward to now is the goat back at work full time.
That's it. Tradio.
Tradio every day. Install a ream if you haven't already.
Yeah. Oh, bro. So, no, that's going to be interesting.
It's going to be a very fun off-season if we can touch on that for a second. So.
Yeah, well, so many moves and it's like significant moves
moves.
I think we mentioned it earlier about did track won the Norm Smith, right? Back when the Perth grand final, right?
Yeah, he did.
That's a significant player who might be shifting clubs. And if he goes to a team like Adelaide.
Yeah. And he could use a fresh start. He's got it screaming all over him. So
yeah. Because this year, like, remember how, like, I feel like he was a butcher this year, right? And it felt like he was a butcher, but you look back 3-4 years ago, and I thought he was the classiest player in the league. How did he go from classy to just butchering everything? Look, it was crazy.
I think he had a decent year without it being amazing.
Yeah. But we look at the Supercoach scores, and when you're a butcher, it reflects.
It's the team.
He was like a 90 average when he should be a 115. Yeah.
Exactly right.
The whole team vibe of Melbourne's been off most of the year. So
true.
And he's obviously had his issues last year, coming back from the injury and the hospitalization. So he's a huge one that could go. Kerno, we mentioned.
Yeah. I think Merit, that's the interesting
Merit,
one.
Huge one.
Yeah. I don't know.
Talk about Butters. I don't know. Butters has
still there, but probably quietened.
Yeah, I think. I'll be honest, like, Merit leaving, I understand a bit more, but Kerno, I don't know why Kerno asking for it to leave, and I'm not even a Carlton supporter. It just feels, I don't know, bro. I think he's just quitting, bro.
Yeah.
He's not even that old. He's younger than Merritt, right?
Yeah, he is.
In the middle of the contract.
To me, it just looks like he wants to just push some defender off, make a lead, and kick goals every week. Just vibes.
Yeah.
True. No Melbourne pressure.
And there's this. It's just not happening at Carlton. They make it as difficult as possible for him to get his 60, 70, 80 goals a year.
Yeah, which is true.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, I didn't see this, the Norm Smith medal presentation. Because just right off the game, I just popped off here, right? So, but I heard that Ashcroft was like, "We'll enjoy the week, and then we're going to get back into it. I'll see you next year."
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what? That's what champions do. That's what you need in your club. You need those type of people, not the Charlie Kernos of the world that are like, oh, whatever, man.
Yeah.
You know, you need warriors. You need, that's the only thing, that's the only way you can win grand finals. And that's what my point to you guys have been is, yes, I understand Kernos is great, and yes, I don't want to lose him because we're not going to get the value for him. But if he's not got it, then get out of here. And turn this team into a team that actually wants to win, because half the players are going to leave, the Acres of the world and all these guys. Get out of here, man. They've been talking about leaving from halfway through the year. Of course, the performance has been shit.
Yeah, you want a bit of a – you want a team of, you know, Harry Shees was talking about, should I have my avocados at breakfast or at lunch?
That's right.
You know what I mean? Like, when should I have my healthy fats?
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Dude's tweaking mid-season. He's like, I've made a change. Avocados for lunch now, not breakfast. And he's seeing the impact in the results. Yeah. That's what the kind of players
And the thing
want.
Is, Carlton has that player. They got Walsh. So he's the guy to take you. They've got that psycho.
Yeah. He just needs to start doing acupuncture to fix up that back or something.
He needs some Zorko treatment.
Some Zorko treatment. Yeah. You know, Zorko acupuncture.
Oh, I feel you. But yeah, it's going to be busy, man. Obviously, the draft now, they've changed the rules for next year.
Yes.
With the bidding. So a lot of teams are going to have one eye on that, doing lots of trades around that.
So Carlton, I reckon as long as you get the draft points for Harry Dean this year, I reckon everything else just about is going to go into next year for Cody Walker.
Yeah, so we're going to get Cody Walker, but we're just going to have to pay a bit more for him. I think that's the general consensus, right?
I think this is honestly, it's the perfect decision from the AFL. This is how it should be.
I think I said that earlier in the year. Just
you've said it multiple
harder,
times.
Make it so much harder for these guys to get multiple of these top liners in one, like Gold Coast getting four of them. 2 years ago. It should never be able to happen.
And that's the thing. Gold Coast, they're going to get two of the top five this year.
Correct.
So it's crazy.
Yeah.
And sorry, just one more point on that is if the purpose of these academies is to generate AFL players and grow the community, grow footy in the communities in states that aren't Victoria, job done. Pay them off, you know, give them a fee for any player that gets drafted, make their time worth it, etc.
Yeah, that's
But when it comes to the draft, you shouldn't be able to just nab them all for peanuts.
Yeah.
And always on draft day when you see like, oh, Gold Coast lose pick 8, Gold Coast lose pick 30, 35, 40, and they get pick 8, everyone's just looking around like, what's going on here?
Mm. Yeah, and then you go get Jed Walter, the next Charlie Kerner. Correct. Who won the sprint that
I know.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Did he win the sprint?
He did.
Jed Walter, bro, the key
Beat
forward.
Out our boy, Bo McCreary, in a very close race.
See, shout out to Jed, man. Shout out, Jed.
That's insane.
But yeah, so this is excellent now. So I think they're going to have to pay a steep price, which is good. That's what you want. You can still be happy.
Mm. North have a couple next year. I think Sam Harris.
Yeah.
Daniel Harris' son.
McCartney.
Not the DJ. And who else?
McCartney
as well. But I get the feeling he'll go to GWS or Sydney or whichever other academy he's from.
We'll see.
Yeah. I hope not, you know, because it depends what's... Because I think he's in the Sydney academy. It'll depend on what they... I don't know, whether it's Sydney or GWS, whichever one it is.
Another Blakey situation.
Yeah, another Blakey. That's what I'm scared about. Mm. But then in saying that, it depends what the situation is key forward time, right? Like, are we going to have, you know, what's his name going to look like? What's Trembath going to look like next year? What's Larky going to be like? What's, you know, who is Sydney going to get? Are they going to get Kerno? Are they going to have a fit Logan McDonald? Because that could make a difference in his decision of where do I go? Where can I actually go and potentially, you know, who am I going to be lining up with, you know, for the next 5, 6, 7 years, whatever, 10 years. So that's an interesting one as well. I think Port have a few academies.
Right.
Yeah, as well. Cochrane, I think they might be getting academy access.
Oh, yeah, he's good. Yeah.
Yeah,
he's
very good. Doug Cochrane. Mm. Dougie. He might have been in the team of the year.
I've heard good things. I haven't watched a lot.
Another age or something, so I'm not sure. But I've heard, very good things about him.
I'm not locked in on the draft at all this year, mind you, boys. Like last Dana year, was the I was draft, man. The last couple of years, I was on it. By the way, my boy Murphy Reid, rising star.
Yes, yes, legit, bro. That's right. Look, all the flowers to you, because as a person who like can observe underage, like not underage, you know, the junior level footy, and like appreciate talent and actually. You're actually pretty good at it, bro.
And I'm thank you. And I wish
quit your job and become a recruiter for Carlton, mate.
Nah, legit, bro.
I reckon I could.
I might actually. Yeah.
if Dino was in charge, when he sees Murphy Reid still at pick 13, 14, he's like, guys, we are trading up to get him now.
Can I ask a dumb question? He was in the sprint. I didn't think of him as a fast player.
I think this. Yeah, I guess they're all pretty fast weird? To an extent. But
I reckon the sprint.
He's not meant to be that fast, no.
Yeah, no. I reckon it's the player who hasn't gone as hard on the bevies Yeah. And Mad Monday.
Who wants a grand final ticket most?
Exactly right. Like Murphy Reed probably, like, you know, tried. He probably didn't have that many beers in the offseason. I don't know. Jed Walter. I would have thought Jed Walter would be nowhere near it because he looks like a party animal with the long hair. No. You know?
But yeah, my only regret with the Murphy Reed thing last year was I let the narrative push him a bit further down my board to what was it? Five or six.
Yeah, yeah.
But the fact that he slipped so far in the actual draft was always ridiculous.
Yeah, crazy, man.
I couldn't believe it. But anyway, no, well done to him. That was huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was I going to say? Otherwise, yeah, so drafts coming. I haven't seen any footage, so there probably won't be any major trade or, draft bids for me this year. But
fair.
It's just got no time to watch.
Nah, these days, boys. So. We're busy. Busy lads. This is a passion project, you know, rather than a full-time job, obviously. Yes,
definitely.
So, you know, a little bit of passion, a little bit of coming together, chatting with the lads. And that's probably the important part of it. But I think we'll wrap it up there. Mm. Wrap up another third season of AFL Enjoyers, which
thanks
is
for,
crazy.
The support.
Yeah, thanks for the support. And yeah, we'll probably be peppering in a few videos here and there. You know, I'm not sure if it'll be in this format, whether it'll be in the format of me, you know, ranking players and then getting reamed in the comments.
Please ream Matt in the comments.
Yeah, no, ream me. But yeah, appreciate the support and we'll see you on the next one, eh?
See ya.
Bad lines.